Let's read together Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. In this first half of Luke chapter 14, the Lord taught the Pharisees the right view of the Sabbath laws and the right rules of social conduct. Let's begin by reading the first six verses of Luke chapter 14. Now it happened, as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. Let's begin our study of this portion of Luke chapter 14 with some background notes. We see in verse 1 that the Lord accepted an invitation from a leading Pharisee to have lunch with him and some other guests in the Pharisee's home. Now, why did this leader of the Pharisees invite Jesus? Was he a secret believer like Nicodemus? Probably not. We read that he and his friends were watching Jesus closely. Not so that they could praise the Lord if he healed the man with dropsy, but so that they could find fault with him for healing on the Sabbath. In fact, there is a good possibility that this whole invitation was a setup, and the man with dropsy was a plant by the Pharisees to somehow catch the Lord in his words or actions. Remember, we read back at the end of chapter 11 that this was one of the primary motives of the scribes and Pharisees. I'm reading Luke chapter 11, verses 53 and 54. And as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say, that they might accuse him. Luke chapter 11, verses 53 and 54. Well, the Lord put the ball in the court of the Pharisees by asking them if it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath. Verse 3. What could they say? If they said yes, they had no case. If they said no, the Lord would have said, where in the scriptures does it say it's illegal to heal on the Sabbath? There was nothing in the Old Testament law that said healing on the Sabbath was illegal. So they kept silent. And the Lord healed the man. Dropsy, by the way, is a condition of the body where excess fluid is retained in the tissues and therefore there is swelling in various parts of the body. Dr. Luke correctly diagnosed this man's medical problem. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for this first portion of Luke chapter 14. Doctrinal point number one, the Lord taught the Pharisees the right view of Sabbath law. The Lord taught the Pharisees the right view of Sabbath law. The Old Testament Mosaic law did not forbid practicing medicine on the Sabbath. It was only the rabbinic tradition of Judaism that wrongly forbade going to the doctor on the Sabbath. The Lord effectively silenced his critics by saying in verse 5, after he healed the man, which one of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? Some of your translations have donkey instead of son because of a difference in some manuscripts. In any case, according to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 14, people and animals were to rest on the Sabbath. But not a single one of these Pharisees would have considered rescuing a person or an animal as work or a violation of the Sabbath. How much more would healing a person be the right thing to do on any day of the week, including the Sabbath? In fact, by healing this man on the Sabbath, he would be able to celebrate the Sabbath the way God intended it to be celebrated. He would be able to truly rest and praise the Lord in worship. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 27, the Lord said, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. That is, man was not created so that he could legalistically keep the Sabbath. But the Sabbath was made by God for man. God knows that man needs a break from work, and God knows that man is not fulfilled if he doesn't take time out to worship his Creator. So the man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for the man. The Pharisees had many wrong concepts of the Sabbath. The Lord taught the Pharisees the right view of Sabbath law. Doctrinal point number two. The Lord taught the Pharisees the right rules of social conduct. The Lord taught the Pharisees the right rules of social conduct. Verses 7 through 14. Luke chapter 14, beginning now at verse 7. So he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Then he also said to him who invited him, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." The rules of social conduct that our Lord gave to these Pharisees are just as good today as when the Lord gave them. Take the humble place at a formal dinner and be invited to move up rather than the other way around. And don't just invite to your home people who can invite you to their homes in return, but invite the less fortunate people. These rules of social conduct are not only very applicable today, but notice further what we read in verse 7. So he told a parable to those who were invited. Jesus was giving his audience a parable. In other words, the wedding feast in verse 8 represents the future messianic banquet when the Lord returns. And humility now is the key to promotion and reward in the kingdom then. As the Lord said in chapter 13 and verse 30, "And indeed there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last." And notice what the Lord said in verse 14 will be the result if you follow the right rules of social conduct in this life. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just or righteous. Now, when is the resurrection of the just or righteous? It is when the Lord returns. At the rapture for the church and at the end of the tribulation for the Old Testament saints and the martyrs of the tribulation period. Notice, by the way, that I take the position that Old Testament saints will be resurrected at the end of the tribulation period based on Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. Some Christians say the rapture is for both New Testament and Old Testament believers. In any case, all believers will be at the messianic banquet of the kingdom of our Lord on this earth, and there will be reward and position for believers in that kingdom. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 24, we saw that entrance into the kingdom is by the narrow gate of Christ, and it is of utmost importance. Now here in chapter 14, we see that position and reward in that kingdom are important as well. Following the right rules, that is God's rules of social conduct, doesn't get you into the kingdom, but it is a good indication that you are a true believer and you will be rewarded in the kingdom. The Lord taught the right rules of social conduct. Now, what about practical application from this first portion of Luke chapter 14? Are you moving up in God's kingdom? Are you moving up in God's kingdom? Moving up in our society is what it's all about for most people, including many Christians. To be a young urban professional or yuppie is where it's at for a large percentage of our society. Just look at the ads on TV, for example. But as far as God is concerned, moving up in His kingdom is what it's all about. Are you moving up in God's kingdom by taking the lower place and by humbly serving others? Or are you only moving up the rungs of the corporate world ladder or some other ladder the world has to offer? Don't realize your mistake too late in life. Are you moving up in God's kingdom? Practical application number two. Seek service, not status. Seek service, not status. In the parable that the Lord gave, we see that His emphasis was directed at those who were invited to the feast. They should take the humble place and not seek to be recognized for their status. The application was obvious for those who were listening. Verse 11, once again, "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." So don't seek status. If we do, we will be humbled. Well, what then should we seek? Verses 12 through 14 make it clear that we should seek ways to serve others. We see in these verses that after the Lord gave the parable, He went on to make these comments to the prominent self-righteous Pharisee who had given the dinner that Jesus was attending. Let's read these comments once again in verses 12 through 14. "Then He also said to him who invited Him, 'When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back, and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just.'" Verses 12 through 14. The Lord is not saying here that dinner with your family and friends is wrong. No, but dinner with family is generally not service that is worthy of reward. But if you invite the poor and crippled, the lame and the blind, and other needy people, then this is really serving others because they can't repay you. But you will be repaid in the future when the Lord passes out the rewards. The Lord said that to serve others was the way to be great in the kingdom. Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45. We read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, that we should be seeking how we can serve others. I'm reading Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. The fact that our Lord's comments here in Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, are more of a command than an option, emphasize that we should be actively seeking ways to serve others. The question is, are we? Seek service, not status.